You're strapped in, the boarding doors close, the engines are humming softly, and you're just a few minutes away from pushback.
You've got your book out, you're ready to go.
Exactly. You've mentally calculated your arrival time, checked your watch, and then you hear that familiar, frustrating sound.
Ah, yes. The captain's voice crackling over the intercom, apologizing for an unexpected, minor delay.
And you immediately think, is it the weather? Is it air traffic control?
But 9 times out of 10, especially in these really high-volume hubs, what's happening just behind that cockpit door is the rapid, high-stakes work of the unsung heroes of aviation.
The line maintenance crews.
Exactly. They are racing the clock to sign off on airworthiness, and if they take just a few minutes too long, your flight sits still.
Right. Today, we are taking a deep dive into the state of aviation line maintenance, or LM. And this industry is it's currently standing at an absolute breaking point.
That's not an exaggeration.
It's not just about turning wrenches anymore. We are examining how a brutal, chronic technician shortage, coupled with some really disruptive new digital technology, is fundamentally reshaping this entire essential sector.
It's the invisible backbone of safe, efficient global air travel, and right now it's under just massive pressure from booming demand on one side and a collapsing labor pool on the other. It's a classic squeeze play.
And our mission today is simple. We want to synthesize the insights from a fantastic stack of sources focused on these current pressures, the challenges, and the high-tech future of this incredibly essential sector.
We want to give you the shortcut to being well-informed on global airworthiness.
And we are drawing directly from the operational front lines. We're not talking theory here.
No, this is the real deal. We're specifically leveraging the expertise of Agustinas Pajeda, who is the Line Maintenance Control Center Manager at FLS Technics.
Okay.
Then there's Marcel Van Sitteren, who's the Maintenance Manager at SR Technics Line Maintenance AG. And finally, Gary Pratt, the Senior Vice President and General Manager at STS Line Maintenance. Together, I mean, they provide us with a truly full-spectrum view of the MRO world.
That's a phenomenal group of experts. So we'll start by defining exactly what line maintenance is, why it's so critical, and the immense scope of services these third-party organizations provide.
Then we'll get into the demand.
Right. Then we'll dive right into the strong demand the industry is facing post-pandemic before tackling the sector's single biggest headache, the chronic and seemingly intractable labor crisis.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's jump right into section one. To truly appreciate the pressure these line maintenance teams are under, we first need to define the scope of their work.
Right.
It's often called the invisible backbone of aviation, but what does that look like practically?
That analogy holds up perfectly. At its core, line maintenance is the routine work and regulatory inspections performed on aircraft to keep them airworthy and ready for immediate flight.
So, routine but critical.
It's the critical, hands-on, high-volume work that ensures operational continuity.
So this is distinct from major overhaul work, right? This isn't a D-check where the plane is essentially stripped down to its frame and spends months in a hangar.
Oh, absolutely. The key defining feature of LM is the timing. This work is meticulously planned to happen between flights, during those short turnarounds at the gate, or sometimes overnight.
All to minimize downtime.
Precisely to minimize aircraft downtime. The clock is always, always ticking. The goal is safety, compliance, and keeping flights on schedule.
And if they fail?
If they fail, or even if they're just slow, the entire global air transportation system experiences a cascading failure of delays.
That immediately illustrates the tightrope walk they're on. They are performing safety-critical, highly technical work, often outdoors on a freezing or, sweltering tarmac under immense time pressure.
It's a tough job. And when we look at the third-party MROs, maintenance, repair, and overhaul organizations, the scope of services they cover is truly enormous and globally distributed.
It is, and our three expert sources illustrate that breadth beautifully. Where should we start?
Let's start with FL Technics and Agustinas Pajeda's team. Their focus is on these really comprehensive services, but they specifically highlight fast, precise AOG assistance.
AOG aircraft on ground. That's the technical term for the worst-case scenario, right?
The absolute worst-case scenario. When that alarm goes off, it means a revenue-generating asset, a multi-hundred-million-dollar airplane, is completely stalled.
It's a fire drill.
It's a massive fire drill. When an aircraft goes AOG, it's a failure event that requires immediate, sometimes international support. Pajeda emphasized that their teams have to move instantly to assess, diagnose, and deliver a safe, efficient solution, regardless of where that plane is in the world.
And how do they manage that on a global scale? I mean, the regulations must be a nightmare.
It's a staggering level of operational control. To demonstrate their scale and the complexity of their work, he pointed to the sheer number of international approvals they operate under.
Okay, like what?
You've got ESA Part 145, which is the European standard, the FAA in the US, GCAA in the UAE, Transport Canada, QCAA, Bermuda, DCA.
Wow.
And they have to manage airworthiness standards across all those jurisdictions simultaneously.
So their expertise has to be completely portable and deployable anywhere at any time.
That's the job. Now, shifting from that global rapid response model, let's look at Marcel van Sitteren at SR Technics. They focus on a different kind of intensity.
Okay.
Van Sitteren's team delivers highly concentrated geographical support, focusing on Switzerland's major airport hubs, Basel, Geneva, and Zurich.
So they're masters of their local domain.
Exactly. And their task list is a perfect illustration of the daily grind of line maintenance. We're talking transit checks, daily and weekly inspections, defect rectification, and of course, AOG support.
But they also do more specialized work.
They do. They also offer specialized services like on-wing engine services, where they perform really complex maintenance tasks on the engine while it's still mounted on the aircraft.
That must require a highly specialized subset of their already licensed engineers. I mean, you can't just have anyone doing that.
It absolutely does. And to meet those demands, Van Sitteren noted they field a dedicated mobile team.
A mobile team?
Yep. They're able to support customers not just at their established MRO stations, but also deployed to the customer's home base when a specific critical repair is needed outside of those main hubs.
That speaks to a really bespoke level of service.
It really does. And finally, let's talk scale. Gary Pratt's team at STS Line Maintenance gives us the volume perspective.
And the numbers here are pretty staggering.
They really are. Pratt noted that STS Line Maintenance supports an incredible range of customers, more than 80 domestic and international passenger, cargo, and charter airlines.
80 plus, that's a huge portfolio.
It's massive. And their services run the full gamut, from simple on-demand defect rectification and scheduled checks, up to and including A-checks.
Okay, for the listener, what is the difference between, say, a daily check and an A-check? What's the scale difference there?
A daily check is quick, often visual. You're ensuring fluid levels are good, looking for obvious issues, basic functionality. An A-check is a much more comprehensive scheduled inspection that takes place roughly every 400 to 600 flight hours.
So much more involved.
Far more involved. It involves detailed lubrication, system checks, and inspection of specific zones inside and outside the aircraft.
And the fact that line maintenance handles up to A-checks is significant.
It's very significant because it means they are integrating what used to be hangar maintenance into the turnaround process. This keeps the aircraft generating revenue rather than sitting in a hangar.
They also handle AOG recovery and specialized projects like airframe modifications.
Exactly. So whether it's that rapid global AOG response, specialized hub support, or just massive operational volume, the three MRO experts we're listening to cover the entire spectrum.
But across all these different operational models, the fundamental mission, that remains absolutely rock solid, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's the constant. Despite all the changes in airframe design and digital technology, the bedrock responsibility is safe, compliant, and efficient work. Gary Pratt had a quote that really should be etched onto the walls of every maintenance facility.
Was it?
Line maintenance technicians are still responsible for safe, compliant, efficient work that keeps the flying public moving.
That statement really drives home the paradox, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This work is essential to the health of the national transportation system. It underpins the reliability we all demand when we book a flight.
It's everything.
But the recognition they receive, as Pratt points out, doesn't always match the high pressure, high responsibility conditions they operate under.
Not even close. They are the essential but often completely invisible professionals we rely on for safety.
Let's pivot to section two, because the shops are busy. I mean, really busy, and that's a massive driver of the current pressure.
It is. There has been a clear and, frankly, dramatic narrative shift in commercial aviation since the early days of the pandemic.
The boom is back.
The boom is back, and then some. This is undeniably driving the demand for maintenance. Augustinus Pajeda's observation was stark. Commercial aviation has not only fully recovered, but it has now exceeded pre-pandemic levels.
Exceeded? That's incredible.
It's a profound recovery. We're simply flying more planes more frequently globally.
That's a pretty wild turnaround in just a few years, especially given the initial grounding of entire fleets. So how does that increased traffic volume translate into workload for the line maintenance stations?
It translates directly into higher aircraft utilization. The planes are spending less time sitting on the ground and more time in the air, you know, generating revenue.
Which is great for the airlines.
Great for the airlines. But it puts a huge strain on maintenance. Marcel van Sitteren noted that the industry is adapting to this environment of higher utilization, which, combined with rising regulatory expectations, means that the demand for maintenance is happening when safety, reliability, and operational continuity are more critical than ever.
You can't afford an error when you have a 95% full flight schedule. There's no slack in the system.
There's zero slack. So we have more planes flying, tighter schedules, and growing complexity. That's a grueling combination for maintenance crews who already operate under these incredibly tight deadlines.
And the complexity factor is key, isn't it? It's not just more work, it's harder work.
That's exactly right. Our sources highlight a significant increase in demand for highly specialized work, particularly on-wing engine support.
So working on the engine while it's still attached to the plane?
Exactly. Van Sitteren specifically cited examples that are demanding the attention of his specialized teams. Really complex tasks like AP1 RBS modifications and fuel nozzle replacements.
If a plane's engine needs a complex replacement like a fuel nozzle, and they are doing it on the wing at the gate, not in a massive engine shop, that just speaks to the extreme time pressure the airline is under to keep that plane operational.
Absolutely. These aren't routine tire changes. These are critical components on next-generation engines that require specialized tooling and, you know, very specific certifications.
And they have to be executed efficiently in these very limited time frames.
Which means the MROs are constantly investing in training and specialized equipment to handle this increasingly complex field work.
That operational intensity must demand an incredible amount of agility from the service providers. The customers, the airlines, they aren't static. They are constantly shifting their routes and resource allocation based on everything from fuel price fluctuations to sudden demand spikes.
That's the challenge of agility, as Gary Pratt defined it. When airlines make rapid adjustments to fleets and routes, say, diverting capacity to meet a sudden surge in leisure travel, the MRO service providers must immediately follow suit.
They have to live by that famous mantra.
Wherever the aircraft go, we go.
Right.
Precisely. Pratt emphasized that this requires realigning people, specialized tooling, and processes rapidly, often across different states or even countries, while absolutely maintaining those rigorous quality and safety standards.
It's a perpetual high-stakes logistical puzzle.
A huge one.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have demand that has exceeded pre-pandemic levels. We have higher aircraft utilization, increasing operational complexity requiring specialized skills, and the need for MROs to be incredibly agile.
That's the landscape.
This immense pressure puts an unbearable strain on a system that is struggling with its single greatest constraint, people. Here's where it gets really interesting.
This brings us to section 3. The biggest issue? The technician shortage crisis. We've established the overwhelming demand. Now we address the constraint.
The bottleneck.
The absolute bottleneck. According to every expert we drew from, Pratt, Pajeda, and Van Sitteren, the ongoing shortage of skilled and licensed technicians is the undisputed number one problem facing the line maintenance sector.
So it sounds like this isn't just a tough hiring market. It's a systemic, structural issue that threatens the long-term viability of high-volume air travel.
That's Gary Pratt's blunt assessment distilled. The technician shortage is here, and it isn't going anywhere for a while. This is a problem that's compounding rapidly due to multiple overlapping factors.
So let's break down the why. What started this decline, and why can't the industry seem to recover from it?
Well, first, we have the looming demographic crisis, the gray wave.
The retirements.
Exactly. Accelerating baby boomer retirements are thinning the ranks of highly experienced mechanics who hold massive amounts of institutional knowledge. These are the mentors, the problem solvers.
And the pipeline to replace them is broken.
It's insufficient. Simultaneously, the training pipeline is just not keeping up. Trade schools and technical colleges simply aren't graduating enough new talent with the specific A&P airframe and power plant licenses needed to replace the outgoing generation.
So that's a classic supply and demand deficit. But Agustinas Pajeda pointed to a unique factor that really widened this labor gap significantly.
The pandemic exodus. This is critical.
Why happened there?
Pajeda observed that during the global grounding of flights in 2020, specialists, licensed engineers who were incredibly difficult to replace, were laid off due to the reduced capacity.
These are highly skilled workers.
Highly skilled workers. And what do they find? They found jobs in other, more stable, and often equally well-paying fields, like manufacturing, logistics automation, or wind turbine maintenance.
So the moment the industry recovered and exceeded pre-pandemic levels, they turned around and realized that talent pool had dried up, or at least redirected itself.
Exactly. The training programs were stalled during the pandemic. The experienced talent left for what they perceived as more stability. And now that the industry is booming, the acute worker shortage is far worse than it was pre-2020. The people simply aren't coming back in the numbers needed.
And if you're an MRO like STS Line Maintenance, you have an additional, almost existential challenge in attracting and retaining those people.
That's Pratt's competitiveness issue. Third-party MROs are essential, but they face a major uphill battle because airline benefit packages, including generous travel perks and, you know, robust retirement plans, are notoriously hard to match.
So they're competing with their own customers for talent.
They are. This mismatch in overall compensation and non-wage benefits keeps attrition rates higher than MROs would like, meaning they're constantly having to recruit just to stand still.
And it's not just the quantity of mechanics they need, it's the required skill level that is constantly escalating. This is what you were saying before about complexity.
That's the parallel problem of complexity and upskilling that Marcel van Sitteren highlights. On one hand, airlines are choosing to operate older, often heavily used aircraft for longer periods.
Which means more work.
It inherently increases the complexity and scale of required maintenance because older airframes require more frequent specialized checks and repair procedures, more maintenance hours required per aircraft, eating up technician time.
But at the same time, they're getting brand new high-tech planes.
Exactly. But they also have to contend with the rapid integration of new platforms, new generation engines, advanced avionics, composite airframe systems. These all demand continuous, highly specialized training.
So you have this dual track challenge.
You do. You need experts in older, complex airframes, and you need experts in brand new digital systems. The struggle to attract licensed engineers capable of mastering both is exponentially harder.
This complexity and the relentless pressure of time bring us to a critical, but I think often overlooked, shortage mentioned in the sources. It's not the people on the tarmac, it's the people who direct them.
This is such a crucial detail, the growing shortage of experienced maintenance controllers. This creates a systemic organizational bottleneck that directly impacts flight times.
Explain how that works.
Okay, so remember, a third-party technician, even if they are standing right next to the airplane, cannot physically act. They can't turn a wrench until they receive official direction and sign-off from the airline's maintenance control center, or MCC.
So the human specialist is on-site, ready to perform the work, but they are stuck just waiting for the paperwork or the verbal go-ahead.
Precisely. And Gary Pratt detailed the operational impact of this bottleneck, and it ties directly back to our opening scenario of the delayed flight. He said, waiting 15 to 30 minutes to speak with a controller isn't unusual, and simple deferrals can snowball into operational delays.
15 to 30 minutes? Just on hold?
Just waiting. So if a flight is held for an hour, 30 minutes of that delay might simply be the highly paid, highly skilled technician standing on the tarmac waiting for the central command to pick up the phone.
It's an unacceptable inefficiency caused by understaffing and a critical command function.
It is. And that 15 to 30 minute wait is pure dead time that completely negates any efficiency gains the technician might have achieved. It's astonishing that this central command shortage is such a massive driver of delays.
Okay, let's transition now to Section 4, because it's not just people. The operational environment is throwing up several other structural challenges that maintenance crews are fighting daily, starting with the flow of essential parts.
Right. The problem of supply chain roadblocks is severe right now. You can have the most experienced technician, fully certified, standing ready to work, but if the part isn't physically available, the plane sits AOG. Simple as that.
Yep. And the sources mention some specific, highly constrained components.
Yes. Specific shortages like wheels and brakes were highlighted across the MRO industry. But the single most defining supply chain crisis revolves around certain new generation engines.
Particularly the Pratt & Whitney PW1100G.
That's the one.
So what's the specific issue with the PW1100G and how is it impacting global capacity?
Agustinus Pajeda at FL Technics detailed the severity. A large number of these engines had to be returned to the shops for inspection and repair due to some operational issues with a specific component. This triggered a monumental backlog at the engine MROs.
And the consequence for the airlines?
It's dire. Operators have been forced to ground part of their fleet because they don't have spare engines to swap out, and the repairs are taking years.
Grounding planes for years? That sounds catastrophic for an airline.
It is. But Hayden noted that due to this repair backlog and the slow timeline for mandated inspections, some operators do not expect to return their grounded aircraft to service until 2027.
2027, wow.
Think about the systemic domino effect of that fact. That is years of lost capacity, which forces airlines to rely far more heavily on their remaining fleet.
Which increases utilization on the planes that are flying.
Exactly. And that, in turn, accelerates the need for line maintenance on the remaining flying aircraft. It's a crisis that directly drives up the MRO workload globally.
Wow. A structural supply chain failure of that magnitude, it fundamentally reshapes operational planning for every airline globally.
It does.
And adding another layer of complexity is the inherent business challenge created by airlines' flight schedule optimization, what the sources call the seasonality tightrope.
This is such a tough balancing act for the MROs.
Mm-hmm.
Airlines constantly alter their flight schedule seasonally to align traffic with passenger demands, which is a sound business practice for them. More flights to Florida in the winter, more to Europe in the summer.
Makes sense for the airline. Mm-hmm. But what are the consequences for an MRO like STS Line Maintenance, who is supporting over 80 airlines doing this?
Gary Pratt described the dynamic. The MRO schedules swing harder from peak traffic to off-peak periods, forcing MRO providers to scale staffing up and down throughout the year. For the MRO business owner, it's a brutal dilemma.
It's the dilemma of stability versus financial loss.
Exactly. If they try to retain a full staff of expensive licensed engineers through the slow winter season to guarantee capacity for the summer spike, they're almost certainly looking at an annual financial loss.
But if they let them go?
But if they reduce headcount to save money, they risk losing that valuable talent permanently. They then have to scramble desperately to rehire and retrain when demand spikes.
Which creates tremendous uncertainty for the technicians they need to retain.
That's the key. The stability of the technician's career is sacrificed for the airline's constant optimization efforts, which again makes attracting talent to the sector incredibly difficult.
So you have engine shortages, labor shortages, and now staffing instability. And on top of this operational chaos, the regulatory landscape is continuously shifting, adding new layers of compliance.
Regulatory expectations never stand still. They constantly evolve based on new threats and technologies. Marcel Van Sitteren made an important point about the movement toward new safety standards.
Okay.
After focusing heavily on the implementation of SMS or safety management systems, the industry is now preparing for the next major standard shaping the MRO sector, the introduction of ISO Part I's.
And we know IS stands for information security, but how does information security relate to tightening a bolt on an engine on the tarmac? What new protocols are mechanics seeing under Part IS?
That's a great question, and it illustrates perfectly how the job is changing. Part IS means maintenance organizations must integrate robust information security protocols, training, and systems.
But why?
Why? Because the maintenance documentation is rapidly moving entirely to digital platforms, tablets on the aircraft. That information is sensitive, proprietary, and critical to airworthiness. A compromised tablet could ground a fleet.
So the mechanic must now be trained not only to perform the physical work, but also to ensure compliance with data access, network security, and secure communication protocols.
Exactly. It adds another significant layer of complexity and training requirement for every single maintenance organization globally.
That detailed the structural problems and crises the industry is facing, but necessity truly is the mother of invention, and Section 5 offers the necessary shift in tone, digitization to the rescue.
This is where MROs are fighting back.
Right. The industry is rapidly turning to high-tech solutions to smooth operations and achieve higher output with fewer people.
This is the only feasible way to address the immense efficiency demands created by the human capital shortage. And Gary Pratt's emphasis is critical here. The best tools are those that make information easier to access and, crucially, eliminate unnecessary steps in the technician's workflow.
It's all about eliminating wasted motion.
All about it.
What are the specific standouts that are making a difference right now?
Pratt highlighted digital task cards, mobile technical publications, and real-time communication tools. The common denominator is mobility and immediate access to accurate, validated information. They are digitizing the mechanic's entire toolkit.
And this is where we see the paperless revolution really paying dividends.
Absolutely. Agustinas Bejeda detailed a powerful trend toward paperless documentation driven by the airlines themselves. The goal is to move entirely from paper-based logbooks, which are prone to errors and can get lost.
And greasy.
And very greasy, yes. To electronic logbooks accessed via robust tablets that are kept directly on board the aircraft.
Let's visualize that efficiency gain for the listener because it sounds immediate.
Yeah.
How does this reduce documentation time in a way that impacts flight delays?
Okay, think about the old process. A mechanic spots a minor defect. They have to walk, 100 yards back to the maintenance office terminal, log in, find the specific maintenance manual and task card, print the card.
Wait for the printer to work.
Right, wait for the printer, walk back to the plane, perform the repair, and then walk all the way back to the terminal to log the sign-off.
All that walking is dead time.
Total dead time. The electronic logbook and tablet eliminate all those round trips. The technician accesses the necessary maintenance documentation instantly on the tablet at the wing, performs the task, signs off digitally on the spot, and confirms the return to service immediately.
This tangibly reduces defect rectification time and, most critically, reduces flight delays.
Minutes saved on the ground translate directly to more profitable flight time in the air. That's a compelling business case for adoption.
And the shift isn't just about single tools. It's about broader platform adoption to streamline the entire maintenance cycle.
That's the drive toward comprehensive MRO management platforms. STS Line Maintenance, for instance, is a strong proponent of systems like AirXpert. Gary Pratt explained the profound efficiency gains this offers.
How so?
Technicians can instantly verify an aircraft maintenance manual, or AMM, reference, and this is the key part, they can collaborate with the maintenance control center without having to leave the aircraft.
So this is a technology solution that directly mitigates the controller shortage problem we just talked about.
Exactly.
If you can get real-time assistance via chat or video, you don't have to wait 15 to 30 minutes for a phone call.
Exactly. Pratt noted, when you remove dead time, everything moves faster. Troubleshooting improves. Return to service improves. This isn't just marginal gain. It's about breaking the bottlenecks caused by human shortages using immediate digital collaboration.
And looking forward, the ultimate digital efficiency tool, artificial intelligence, is rapidly making its way from the theoretical white papers into aviation maintenance planning.
Yes, AI is already serving as a powerful tool that speeds up the detection and analysis of problems found by in-flight data management systems. It can spot trends a human might miss.
And the regulators are on board?
They are. Agustinas Bejeda confirmed that EASA has released a roadmap for AI implementation in aviation, confirming that this is a regulatory reality on the near horizon, not just some futuristic idea.
So what are the initial practical focuses for AI in line maintenance? Where will we see it first?
Bejeda anticipates AI will initially be implemented in areas that deal with massive amounts of data and paperwork. Maintenance documentation management, proactive part and component control, predicting when spares will be needed and where, and highly optimized production planning.
So it's taking over the big administrative bottlenecks.
That's the idea.
And what's the long-term potential for the labor crisis? Can it help there?
Future applications could absolutely include AI-based solutions that might help reduce the manpower needed to carry out certain tasks, particularly the planning and administrative overhead. This would directly help mitigate the specialist shortage.
So the AI handles the complex logistics and paperwork.
And the human specialist can focus entirely on the hands-on, high-value work that truly requires their unique license and experience.
But every new technology brings a new challenge. The sources raised a crucial technical hurdle that needs to be overcome before we realize the full potential of this digital revolution.
That's the interoperability issue, as Marcel van Sitteren cautioned. While these individual digital tools are delivering benefits, reducing paperwork, improving communication between operations, engineering, and logistics, the full power of digitization is limited.
Because the systems don't talk to each other.
Exactly. The lack of common standards and full interoperability between different digital systems is a major challenge.
Can you give us a real-world example of that silo effect?
Sure. Think about it this way. You have the maintenance management software run by the MRO, which is great. But the data stream coming from the Rolls-Royce Trent engine might be in a proprietary format.
Okay.
And the electronic logbook used by the airline is a third system entirely. If those three systems can't communicate seamlessly and share integrated data instantly, if the technician has to enter the same data point into three different platforms, you lose a huge amount of that intended efficiency.
It creates digital paperwork instead of physical paperwork.
Precisely. So integrated data sharing and the creation of common digital standards will be a vital, non-negotiable next step for the industry's future. We've established the intense challenges and the digital solutions being rapidly deployed. Now, in Section 6, Let's synthesize the future outlook, the road ahead for line maintenance.
And it seems to be defined by two seemingly opposing forces, growth and the urgent need for human investment.
It is. The underlying current is inevitable growth in air travel, despite the current struggles with capacity and labor.
The demand isn't going away.
Not at all. Gary Pratt painted the picture, reminding us just how foundational commercial aviation is. It supports over 10 million jobs and contributes roughly $1.45 trillion to the U.S. economy alone. That scale is only increasing.
So the future of line maintenance is structurally growth.
It is. Pratt even suggested that if the U.S. modernizes its air traffic control systems, removing existing airspace capacity constraints, flight volumes will rise even higher, driving an even greater need for qualified maintenance personnel.
So the goal isn't the replacement of the human element by technology. It's the optimization of the human element through intelligent tech.
It's the blend, the skilled human plus the intelligent machine.
That is the consensus future model.
It is. Marcel van Sitteren predicts that predictive maintenance and digital tools will be completely standard. Training will rely heavily on immersive and modern methods like VR, and integrated data systems will streamline operations.
So the job of the technician changes radically.
It moves from a paper pusher and wrench turner to a system manager, but it doesn't disappear.
And Agustinus Pajeda touched on this, confirming that while he jokes about robots taking over, maintenance technicians and pilots won't be replaced soon. The human role shifts to oversight.
He confirmed that people will absolutely need to rapidly improve their IT and digital knowledge to work effectively with new AI and digital systems. The automated processes will require a person's expert supervision to ensure the AI system is compliant, safe, and working according to the necessary regulatory standards.
The human specialist remains the necessary failsafe.
The ultimate failsafe.
The maintenance technician of tomorrow is effectively a highly skilled mechanical specialist and a proficient digital information manager.
That's the job description.
Which brings us back, full circle, to the urgency of human capital investment.
This is the critical second half of the dual strategy.
Yeah.
Gary Pratt stressed that the industry must prepare now for this inevitable growth. As aircraft become more complex, new technicians need more than just the baseline AMP curriculum.
The old way isn't enough.
Not even close. They need structured on-the-job training and strong, experienced mentorship to bridge the massive gap between classroom instruction and the complex realities of working on a modern fleet. The baseline instruction is simply insufficient for dealing with systems like LEP engines or composite repairs.
And training is only half the battle. We talk about the intense competitiveness from the airlines for the same talent pool.
And that's why compensation is non-negotiable. Pratt was very clear. If wages for aircraft maintenance technicians don't keep pace with other skilled trades like industrial automation or specialized manufacturing, the industry risks losing the next generation of mechanical talent before they even start.
You can't solve a severe structural labor shortage with outdated compensation models.
You can't. Investment means training, mentorship, and highly competitive wages, period.
And if the current complexity of existing jets, global supply chains, and regulatory shifts wasn't enough, we have entirely new platforms appearing on the horizon, the eVTOL systems.
Right. The field is absolutely about to get more crowded and infinitely more complex. The rise of electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, the air taxis, is rapidly approaching commercial viability in urban centers.
And this will bring with it entirely new airframes, new composite materials, battery systems.
New regulations, new maintenance requirements, new operational expectations.
Yeah.
A whole new world of complexity.
And who will be the people responsible for keeping these new systems safe and reliable in highly congested urban environments?
Line maintenance. They will be central to keeping these new eVTOL systems functional, safe, and available for use, just as they are for current commercial jets. The scope of their responsibility is only going to broaden.
So what does this entire deep dive synthesize into? What's the final word from the experts on how the MRO sector survives and thrives?
The final synthesis is the critical dual strategy. The sector must aggressively adopt AI and digital platforms, electronic logbooks, MRO platforms, real-time collaboration, to maximize current efficiency and reduce dead time.
While at the same time.
While simultaneously making a profound and immediate investment in human capital. This means better training, better mentorship, and competitive wages. The integration of this digital revolution with irreplaceable, highly skilled human expertise is vital for ensuring safe, efficient global air travel into the next decade.
So what does this all mean for you, the learner? We've seen a sector that is absolutely booming with post-pandemic demand, but struggling acutely with a skilled labor crisis.
A crisis fueled by retirements, the pandemic exodus, and just tough competition for talent from the airlines themselves.
And the path forward is not just one solution, but a powerful combination of digital tools like electronic logbooks and MRO platforms, cutting out the dead time alongside an aggressive financial investment in training and competitive wages to attract and retain the next generation.
The next time you see that delay notification and hear the captain apologizing, you'll know that the cause is likely a structural challenge being battled in real time.
It's not just a random event.
Not at all. It could be the 15 to 30 minute wait for direction from an understaffed maintenance controller, or a specific part shortage like those highly constrained wheels or brakes.
Or maybe even the systemic failure caused by the PW1100G engine repair backlog stretching all the way to 2027.
Exactly. These are the complex, high-stakes challenges that our expert guides, Agustinus Pejeda at FL Technics, Marcel Van Sideren at SR Technics, and Gary Pratt at STS Line Maintenance, are tackling head-on to keep you moving safely.
And we leave you with this final provocative thought, building on Gary Pratt's insight into that seasonality tightrope. He noted that the annual need to scale staffing up and down risks an annual financial loss for MROs and creates career instability for technicians.
A huge problem for retention.
A huge problem. So, given that we know advanced predictive AI is being introduced to manage documentation, component prediction, and production planning, how can this same AI, which is excellent at predicting volume, be leveraged to create more stable year-round employment models by accurately predicting long-term demand volatility? Could AI become the key to stabilizing the maintenance workforce, thus helping the industry retain the essential human talent it desperately needs, rather than continually forcing them into these cycles of uncertainty? Something for you to mull over as the industry flies toward a highly digitized and hopefully more stable future.
We'll see you next time. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of aviation line maintenance.